ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Visvija smayamanam svam Visham vridam cha dahikim Praname dandavat pumau Asva chandalago karam Visrija Girina Smayamana who are laughing. Swan, one's own friends. Drisham, the outlook. Vridam, the embarrassment. Cha, and Dahikim of the bodily conception. Pranamet, one should offer obeisances. Dandavat, falling down like a rod. Bhumau, upon the ground. Even. Swa, or maybe it's pronounced Shwa, to the dogs. Chandala, outcasts. Go, cows. Karam, and asses. Translation by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Disregarding the ridicule of one's companions, one should give up the bodily conception and its accompanying embarrassment. One should offer obeisances before all, even the dogs, outcasts, cows, and asses falling flat upon the ground like a rod. Please repeat responsibly. Disregarding the ridicule of one's companions, one should give up the bodily conception. And its accompanying embarrassment. One should offer obeisances before all, even the dogs, outcasts, cows, and asses, falling flat upon the ground, like a rod. Purport by Hridayananda Das Goswami Maharaj. One should practice seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead within all creatures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised all devotees to consider themselves lower than a blade of grass and to be more tolerant than a tree. In such a humble position, one will not be disturbed in the prosecution of pure devotional service to the Lord. A devotee does not foolishly think that a cow or an ass is God, but rather the devotee sees the Supreme Lord within all creatures, and on this higher spiritual plane he does not discriminate. Om Agina Chimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Ena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadambhyam Jadati Svam Kadantikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rahe Vrindaveshwari Vishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindho vevacha adhyana paribhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasani
Gaurava Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Krishna is talking here to Uddhava and is making a very powerful emphasis on humility, connecting humility to the position of one who constantly meditates on Krishna being present within all living beings, and again connected to the previous verse, Krishna emphasizes that this is the way for conditioned soul to become free from negative qualities such as rivalry, envy, abusiveness. So here Krishna advises Uddhava to actually become free of false ego, bodily conception. He is advising him to offer obeisances to all the creatures and dogs and outcasts, cows, asses, falling flat upon the ground like a rod. This is quite an extreme instruction. It seems like, especially to people who are conditioned to their perception of who they think they are. So in this material world, generally there is the tendency for forming an identity. Every one of us is trying to create an identity. So identity, due to the false ego, immediately overpowers us. From the moment we start to be little conscious of this body, when the baby is born, initially the baby is not conscious of that body. But at some point the child becomes conscious of the body, and then gradually of the surrounding environment, the parents, so on and so forth. So one becomes aware of his or her gender, gradually our age. One becomes aware of certain likes or dislikes related to our tastes, karmic conditioning. One becomes aware of a specific desires that he or she may have, and the pursuance of these desires, and one recognizes that as I grow in this world, I have to create an identity. I have to become such and such gentleman or lady. I have to get a such and such position in society so that I can have an identity. So all of that requires requires that relationship or connection of the living entity to the false ego to be able to strive towards creating an identity in this material world. So creating an identity in the material world is immediately linked to the quality of pride, immediately. Because every position in the material world provides some level of status, and what comes with it is when we are in a conditioned state, immediately there is pride. And so identity, status, pride, it's connected. Interesting, huh? To the false ego. False ego, identity, status, pride. And then when there is pride, we have the opposite of what Krishna is advising to Uddhava. We don't see the interconnectedness of everything. We have a myopic vision, fragmented vision. We see friends and enemies, inferiors and superiors, likes and dislikes. We see different living entity in all the different bodies. That's also revealed in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna tells Arjuna that when person is in a mode of passion, he or she sees that there is different living entities in different bodies. And that, of course, that pride, that attitude, that consciousness, that philosophical outlook based on the false ego, one develops the mood of rivalry, envy, abusiveness, all these negative qualities. The current identity that we have in the material world is a product of heredity and environment. It's two things that form the identity. Heredity means something inherited from the past, karmically, basically from the previous life. So we are product of our karmic behavior, and then the environment, the current environment, also shapes our current identity, a false ego in this material world. So Queen Kunti said in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that wealth, high parentage, high education and beauty, these four are becoming obstacles on the path of attaining self-realization. But if we examine the consciousness of the living entities in this world, is completely focused on these four. High parentage, you know, born in a high family, wealth, beauty and high education. All these things increase the pride, the connection to the false ego, and then to the lower modes, Rajagun and Tamagun. And ultimately one becomes very self-centered, very egotistical, exploitative individual. Basically such person is got no principles. Or the principles sometimes maybe based on a shaky platform. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj used to call it situational ethics. You know, there is no fixed principle. Situational ethic. Whatever will bring me some kind of gratification for the moment, that is the moral and ethical thing to do. There is no higher... there is no higher grounds than my perception on what is actually ethics and morality. There is no higher authority on ethics and morality, but my own senses, my own feeling. So, when someone is in that kind of position, striving for some material gain in the material world, then such individual will not be interested in bowing down before no one. That is like outrageous. They will be just, they'll feel an insult if you tell such a person you have to bow down before even a spiritual master. They'll feel this is an insult. How can I bow down in front of a human being, you know? They'll feel like this. However, they like very much when others bow down before them. They love it. They love it. When someone goes to look for a job and they supposed to be the CEO, the representative for the HR, human resource manager or whatever that is. I don't know what position is there. Someone that's recruitment. You know, so when the employee goes like this, you know, in front, so they feel, yes, I am the boss now, I'm gonna decide your future. You know, they love it, you know, they feel this is my worth. This is who I am. I'm so important. You know, so many people are writing to me emails every day and wanting to meet me, and they send in their CVs and they're expecting me to actually be favorable towards them. So this is the mentality of a person completely absorbed in passion and ignorance. However, the goal of life, as revealed in Shastra, is not karma, accumulation of wealth, is not jnana, accumulation of knowledge for the sake of it, is not developing mystic powers of some sort, and is not the suicidal tendency of becoming one with everything, impersonalism, Mayavada philosophy. According to Shastra, the conclusion of Shastra, the goal of life is pure devotional service to Krishna. So pure devotional service is a process that immediately frees you from the shackles of Raja, Tama and even Sattva Gun. Pure devotional service helps one to understand his or her position on a macrocosmic level. We understand that actually there is a supreme authority to whom everyone is subordinate. Nityo Nityananam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bhavanam Yo Vidadati Kamam. There is one supreme conscious being who is maintaining all other conscious living entities, both in their conditioned as well as in their liberated state. So immediately when we realize that there is such a entity, one becomes humble. One becomes humble and one wants to render service. We cannot render service without being humble, especially pure devotional service. So this is the only cure for the materialistically inflicted heart and consciousness that we have. Materialistic consciousness produces so much suffering to the living entity in this material world. And because of the activities that the living entity performs for sense gratification, automatically, even if there is little pleasure initially, then immediately there is tremendous amount of suffering, confusion and bewilderment. But when we become involved in this process of bhakti through humility, the opposite, automatically one experiences two things, kleshagni and shubhada. All the miseries are destroyed and shubhada, all auspiciousness begins. So although we may not be able to see directly the supreme conscious being with our eyes, understanding fully, comprehending fully, but these two things, shubhada and kleshagni, they strengthen the faith that, wow, I've never felt like this before. I struggled so hard in my whole life to be happy and to be free of misery. But now I just offered little service at the temple and I chanted little Hare Krishna and I immediately felt relief from suffering and misery like never before. And gradually we experience this amazing auspiciousness. We meet wonderful devotees. We meet wonderful spiritual masters. We read wonderful scriptures who give us amazing instructions, transforming our heart. And our life begins to take another shape. We develop another identity. You know, that previous identity falls away. Interesting. That previous identity falls away. Actually, if you examine yourself, maybe 10 years ago and now, I guarantee you, it is two different people. It's completely two different people in terms of thinking and behavior. So, even perhaps if you examine yourself 2 years ago, you'll see two different people. Because whatever Krishna is telling to Uddhava here is the process of bhakti yoga which transforms the heart. It's a constant evolution of consciousness, not evolution of body, evolution of consciousness. From ignorance to pure love of Krishna. So, the more consciousness evolves, it is explained there is five stages of consciousness. The first covered stage is when the consciousness is completely covered. It's compared to a bud of a rose that is completely closed. So this is when we're in total condition, ignorant life. And gradually, the rose opens and it becomes a beautiful flower. Beautiful rose. That is when Krishna Bhakti manifests. So, the preliminary quality is Shraddha, to shift from the one type of identity we have accrued or acquired in this material world through our own karma, our guna and karma. And then when there is some Shraddha due to some good fortune, perhaps meeting a devotee or coming in contact with a book or something like that, if there is piety, there is some piety, some sattva, some agyata sukriti accrued from previous life, unknowing devotional service, immediately we are able to connect with truths that are transcendental, that are not part of this material realm. So when we have the level of Shraddha, we begin to chant Chetu Darpanam Arjunam Bhava Mahadavagani Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadu Jivanam Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam Pratipanam Purnam Ritasvadanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayati Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. When we begin to chant, the heart becomes clean, purified more and more and more. Initially, there is no taste. The second verse of Shikshastaka Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals the heart that, my dear Lord, I have no taste for the holy name. You have so mercifully given me the holy name, and you have invested all the powers in this holy name. Nam nama kari bahudanija sarva shaktis. Sarva Shaktis, all the potencies is there in this holy name. But I have no taste for this holy name. So, on this level, one has to acquire more and more association with devotees, study more the Shastra, and then we can progress to the next level. Through association with devotees, the spiritual master and Shastra, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, immediately we become more and more humble. And then we come to the third level of Shikshastaka, Trinada Pisunichana, Tarori Vasihizuna, Amarena, Manavina, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Now, on the second verse of Shikshastaka, that refers to Vajana Kriya, association with devotees and the spiritual master. And that includes Anartha Nivritti, the clearing stage. So Anartha Nivritti, we've got no taste for the holy name because the heart is full of anarthas, material desire. Anartha means unwanted goal. So, but through the association of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, the 16 anarthas become clean. So I'll tell you what are the 16 anarthas according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhajana Rahasya, there are 16 anartas. They are divided into four groups by four by four. So the first four are being envious of others. The second is the propensity to cheat. The third one is the propensity to criticize and fault find with others. And the fourth one is the propensity for high position, respect, honor. Then the second category is dealing with offenses. Offenses to the holy name, offenses to the deities, offenses to Vaishnavas, and offenses to living entities. All living entities. Third category is the desire for heavenly pleasures, desire for material sense gratification of any type, any variety, desire for mystic powers like animal agima prapti, siddhis, whatever. Sometimes we may have these kind of desires, thinking that if I get this potencies I can get some pleasure out of it and control others and make my life easier. Should be careful. And then the desire to merge into the oneness of God, impersonalism. That is also big anartha that can be lingering within our heart. So the fourth category is not knowing our identity, real identity as a spirit soul, who is the servant of God. Not knowing the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our relationship. Two. The third one is not to know, not to examine carefully what is the process of Vaidhi Bhakti as well as Raganuga Bhakti. If we don't know how to practice properly, if we are not aware of the details of the science of Vaidhi and Raganuga Bhakti, that is an anartha. Vaidhi Bhakti means rules and regulations, practice, and Raganuga Bhakti means following in the footsteps of a devotee in Vrindavan, under the expert guidance of a spiritual master. So if we're not aware of these processes, that is an anartha, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And the last anartha on the list is the inability to discriminate what is favorable and what is unfavorable for execution of devotional service. So these 16 anarthas are supposed to be destroyed on this level, sadhu sangha and bhajana kriya. So while we're doing while we engage in association with devotees and serving the spiritual master, the anarthas have to be destroyed. So you can progress through that stage if you take very serious shelter of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra and be very sincere to progress further. So the next stage is Trinada Pisunichana, and this is Lord Chaitanya says in that verse that one should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige. One should offer all respect to others, and in such a state of mind one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Now when Lord Chaitanya says one should offer all respect to others, doesn't mean to Vaishnavas only. Interesting, huh? And this connects with this verse today. One should offer all obeisances before even dogs, outcasts, cows, asses, falling flat upon the ground like a rock. Now, respect must be given. Now here in the purport, it is said that a devotee does not foolishly think that cow or an ass is God, or a dog eater or outcast person or whatever, but rather devotee sees the Supreme Lord in all creatures, and on this higher spiritual plane he does not discriminate. So this is the level of nishtha. One becomes fixed in devotional service when we have that humility to give respect to everyone else and not to expect any respect for ourselves. It's a very high level of consciousness. So we should examine ourselves. Are we progressing towards that level, or are we stuck somewhere and are we just lingering, you know, going in the same, what do you call this, the treadmill, when you go to the gym. You know, people are walking, but the same, they're remaining on the same place. So we have to examine whether we have stuck. Krishna consciousness movement means we have to move constantly. I gave that example a few days ago. If you're standing in one place, someone can pull you very easily. If you're walking, someone can pull you, but it's more difficult. But if you're running, no one can pull you back. So movement, that means we have to move towards Krishna Prema. So we have to examine where we are at the moment. Are we stuck? Are we walking slowly? Or are we running? And if we are stuck, then where is the anchor? What keeps us to the shore? Prabhupada gave that story of the boatman who was taking the wedding party across the river. I don't know if you remember that story, but it was at night, they fell asleep, and he was rowing the whole night, and in the morning they woke up still on the same place, and he was bewildered. Oh, I forgot to lift the anchor. So the whole wedding party was still there in the boat, and the other side people were waiting for the wedding, for the bride to come. So Krishna is waiting on the other side. Where is the anchor? You know, we have to actually see that, you know, we become free of all anarthas. We actually have a special focus on anartha nivritti so that we move forward. When we move beyond the anarthas, of course anarthas are gradually destroyed by the chanting of the holy name. And if one has sincerity, that sincerity and that humility before the Lord and chanting constantly, anarthas will be completely eradicated. Sometimes, actually most of the time, anarthas are carried and the last traces of anarthas are destroyed at the level of bhava. So it's not that at that level all anarthas will finish, but even to the level of bhava there will be some traces lingering. They are becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. So devotional service is about the refinement of the, you know, the mood of devotion, which means immediately our original nature as a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nityadas. Jivera Tatasta Shakti Beda Beda Prakash. So we are simultaneously one and different with Krishna, as well as all living entities. Therefore we have to see them as part and parcel of the Lord, but at the same time we have to see that they are stuck in this material world, and we should try to express compassion. In the spiritual world there is no need for compassion because there is no suffering. Compassion is only there when when we see that someone is actually suffering. But in the spiritual world, everyone is in bliss, in ecstasy. There is no need for compassion. There is only prema, pure love. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that that prema, that love for Krishna, is expressed in this material world in a form of compassion for other living entities. So, the more humble we become, the more servant-like we become, naturally, the more loving we become towards Krishna, automatically compassion manifests towards others. So you don't, sometimes compassion not necessarily have to be expressed by literally offering obeisances to dogs, outcasts, cows, asses. Although you can do that also, there is nothing wrong in it if Krishna is advising, if you have a proper consciousness and proper understanding. As far I know, Raghunath Das offered obeisances to ants also. Huh? Yeah. Have you heard that? True? Raghunath Das. Yeah. He was so humble. And basically he saw the presence of the Lord within the ant as well. So, however, in our position, in ISKCON, under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada, offering obeisances to all living entities means to be involved in outreach. You see, to reach out to others. And to reach out to them so that we could also offer them the opportunity to understand what's their real identity, because they are now forming the other identity that we spoke, connected to false ego and pride, that is ultimately leading towards death and reincarnation in this material world. So that is really offering obeisances, because when we go in on the street sometimes to do book distribution, or sometimes we approach colleagues or neighbors, befriend them, you have to be humble if you want them to hear you. So that humility is like offering obeisances to them, you know. But of course we mustn't look artificially humble, because people don't like this either. So one who is very eager to offer this message of Krishna to others will be used as an instrument to the Lord to be able to uplift others in this material world. So you can give prasadam to a dog, something like that, to people from in a more unfortunate position, like outcasts and whatever. Now today the whole world is outcast, so just give prasadam. So here there is the example of having two restaurants, and so much prasadam is going on every day, so many people actually benefiting from that. That is also an austerity that the devotees have taken to benefit humanity. And ultimately it's the devotees don't benefit personally. They don't do that for material benefit, but they do that to engage in devotional service. So to actually conclude, when we reach the level of Nishtha, we become very convinced, very fixed on the goal of life, because the anarthas have reduced, so we can see more clearly what's the goal of life. We see the sun of Krishna beginning to shine somewhere in the distance, at least little bit, very vaguely, but it's there. And then ruchi means taste for devotional service. One has some attachment to Krishna, but it's very small. One is more attached to devotional service, because devotional service provides kleshagni and shubhada, frees one from misery and gives some auspiciousness. So there is some kind of still egotistical motive at this level, because we feel happier. So we become attached, ruchi, to devotional service, but we're still not fully attached, asakti, to Krishna. Interesting, huh? Krishna is still somewhere in the background. Still our concern is the predominating concern. But the more we keep practicing, bhaktya mama vijanati avam yashchasmi tatpaduha tato mam tatvata gyatva vishati tadanataram, the more we begin to practice, and the more we continue to practice very sincerely, very humbly, the process of devotion, bhaktya mama vijanati, we will be able to know Krishna as he is and become attached to him, asakti. And from that attachment, gradually there will be bhakti bhav, emotion for the Lord. Like we have emotions now of happiness and distress due to the connection with the three modes of material nature. Now, this is a perverted reflection of the original emotion. So when we become attached to Krishna, immediately there is bhakti bhav. And then more and more and more the rose opens up until we reach prema. And one already has achieved his or her spiritual transcendental identity, Swarup Siddhi, and one is situated in their position as an eternal servant of the Lord. So this is the gift of Bhakti Yoga, this is the gift of Shastra, this is the gift of Srila Prabhupada, and this gift is for everyone. In Kali Yuga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Yare Deha Tare Kaha Krishna Paresh, just try to distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone, keep a vipra, keep a shudra, keep a nyasi shudra seighai. Doesn't matter what are you, whether you are in this position, that ashram or that ashram, whether you are in this country or that country, whether you are in that age or particular age, whether you are in that gender or the other gender, it doesn't matter. Just if you know this knowledge of Krishna, the source of everything, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make it a primary duty to actually distribute and benefit other living entities. And the secret of doing that, or the tremendous benefit of that, is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna become very, very happy with you. And in that way we make more and more advancement. If we maintain humility while we are doing outreach, then that will be effective. If there is pride, immediately it becomes ineffective. So humility is crucial. We have to be humble before the Lord, before Krishna, before the devotees, and in fact we have to be humble before everyone, as it is referred to in this verse. Then people will actually feel that this individual is different. So the first verse here, the first sentence in the purport is, one should practice seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead within all creatures. Therefore, to be able to reach that level, we have to keep practicing, reminding ourselves that Krishna is present within each and every heart. And I cannot harm, I cannot be a rival or abuse, or, you know, and if someone is abusive towards us, you know, we can actually take shelter of Krishna, understand that this is our perhaps karmic reaction that is coming to us, and we should try to see that Krishna is coming through this person as a karmic reaction to purify me and to uplift me, and that person is actually not to be blamed, because he is simply an instrument for my own karma. So the person to be blamed is myself. In that way you will always be able to see Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes? Yes? Yeah. That's why Guru Sadhu and Shastra is... What's the question? She's asking, how do we identify where we are? You have to be honest with yourself. And if we are honest with ourselves, we will see at some point that I know I've got certain weaknesses, but there is also vagueness. So how do I make advancement? So that vagueness that I cannot see has to be assisted through devotees that we trust around ourselves. So we need to associate with devotees that are trustworthy, and if we trust them, then automatically they will give us some feedback. My Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, used to say that we should be eager for feedback from other devotees who know us. What do you think I can improve in myself? How do you think I can improve my devotional service? So if one is a good friend of yours, they will actually have always something to share with you. Maybe this is a little weakness that you have, and and what do you think you could work on it, or whatever. So it's always good to take some feedback from devotees that know us a little more, and they see us from outside, because the self-deception ability is very strongly established. Lord Brahma created self-deceptiveness, you know, so we can circumvent self-deceptiveness by taking shelter of devotees that we trust. So if there is no devotees that you trust, that means that there is an issue within your own heart, because there must be always one or two devotees that we trust, and we might have not identified them as yet, but we should look around and then we should approach them and try to talk to them and reveal certain obstacles that perhaps we are struggling with, or perhaps ask them, what do you think, or how do you think I should improve, what do you think is my weak areas. So in that way we will understand. But if you want to understand whether you are running, you have to just examine your mood of how eager you are to get Krishna. You know, how to please Krishna. Is there that, what Rupa Goswami calls lobham? Lobha is means greed. How greedy you are to satisfy Krishna, to please Krishna. That mood of really feeling that your heart is longing for pleasing Krishna. If that is there, you are running. If that is not there, you are walking. And if we feel that we are just kind of coasting around, that means we have become stopped at some point. So we have to be very careful. I told yesterday the devotees at Bhakta Bhavan that devotional service is like making a precise operation. If a doctor makes an operation, he has to be extremely precise, heart surgery, so that the patient survives the heart surgery. So basically we are busy now in the process of a very serious operation, so it is very important that we position ourselves properly so that we can receive the proper nourishment. You know, like if you want to apply yourself to heart surgery, but then you don't go to a qualified person, can be a problem, you see. So we need to be careful. And if you just have faith in Krishna and Guru, all the purports of the Vedas will be revealed. If you just have explicit faith, implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, and if you keep praying, all the purports of the Vedas will be revealed. All the things that you need to know will be revealed. So prayer is a very powerful tool to connect to God. You're basically expressing your heart. My Guru Maharaj Bhaktivedanta Maharaj encouraged the devotees to keep diary and to tell their Guru in their diary how they feel. You don't have to send him all the letters. It can be mental, whatever, just write it down. And because you're writing it down, the spiritual master receives it and you get the answer. It's a heart connection. My Guru Maharaj asked us before he left, he said that you should keep a diary so that you connect, develop more of a heart connection with me than just Vapu. So when I disappear, we can still be together. Because sometimes if there is no heart connection, when the spiritual master disappears, there is immediately weakness. So we have to develop that. He also said we can write to Krishna directly, to Radharani, no problem. You just write directly, my dear Krishna, this is what I'm going through, please help me. You can do that. And he said also you can write a response that you think Krishna would have responded in a way to you. That's an exercise. You can write, Krishna, this is what I'm going through, and then you can think a little, what would have Krishna responded to me, and you can also write that down. My dear beloved child, you should try to improve in this area and that. And in, when you read that response, you'll see, wow, this is amazing insight. So this is different methods for technologists to actually make advancements. Hare Krishna, nice question. Any other questions? Yes?
Hello. So, just for understanding, so running, as you were explaining, running doesn't mean physical activity,
no.
The one who is growing,
no.
That means changing of the mentality, increasing the knowledge, changing
yes.
Altitudes.
Yeah, that mood.
You were explaining how much we are able to Krishna.
Yes, to please Krishna.
Because sometimes we go after externally so much activity, and we're thinking that devotional service, but might be completely something else.
Yeah, yeah. If it is required that we extend ourselves and do some service, the Vaishnavas are requesting us, then we know Krishna is asking. But if we mentally just try to pile ourselves with so many services, thinking that we're expanding, and then we can't get up for Mangalarti, we can't chant, our whole balance becomes topsy-turvy, then we know this is not a proper thing to do.
And I was also thinking sometimes when we do, I'm just wondering for myself, am I doing this because Krishna wants me, or am I doing it because I want to?
Yes.
So that's a big difference. We might do devotional service what we want, but if that's not what Krishna wants, then it's not devotional service.
Yes. Yes. It is dovetailing your propensity, and it's Krishna still accepts it, but it's mixed with karma and jnana. There is material motivation. So, we have to come out of that. So that's why I'm saying refinement. To try to see, you know, by doing this, what is my mood? What's my motive? Why do I do this? Examine the consciousness. So the more you see that my consciousness is mixed with so many other things, and then the more you pray, my dear Lord, please kindly lift me up from this contamination and position me in a pure consciousness, the more we are running towards Krishna in that way. So it's all about observing the consciousness. It's like an external observer. Sachinandan Maharaj said that sometimes he sits outside of himself and he sees there is a German Swami and he's preaching to others and whatever. So he's observing himself from the outside, and he can kind of see his consciousness and whatever. So he doesn't even identify with this position as Swami and whatever, German Swami, you know, all that. We're not all that, you know. What did Lord Chaitanya said? I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not a Sannyasi. I'm not a Shudra, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Brahman. And Gopi Bhakta Pada Kamalayo, Dasa Dasa Nidasa, I'm the eternal servant of the ocean of nectar, the maintainer of the gopis, Shri Krishna. So, what we are doing here is we are trying to cultivate that mood. That's why we are coming together all the time. And that is the end result, to really see ourselves as Gopi Bharta Pada Kamalayo. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servants, the gopis of Vrindavan. And that's why we're coming here. We're not coming here to have some social recreation, some kind of a club. You know, we just get together to make ourselves happy. You know, we just hang out together. And these guys hang out in the bar and we hang out here, you know. We are aiming at actually developing love of Krishna. And when you develop love of Krishna, you, all of you, will be used by Krishna in amazing ways to help others. Look at what Prabhupada was used to do. You know, he was such a simple person. Small, short, Indian gentleman. 150 something, you know. But Prabhupada used him to change the whole world. So don't minimize yourself. Don't think, I am useless, I just hang around, I'll eat prasad and I'll go back to Gaurav. Krishna wants you to help others. Krishna wants you to get out of the comfort zone according to what will please Him. So the more we want to please Krishna, the more you become puppet for Him. Puppet means, if Krishna says lift your right hand, you lift it. You know, in that way, if Krishna wants you to go there or there or there, you just do it. So there is a very clever prayer by Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. I'm going to end now because it's quarter two, but he said, "My dear Lord, please force me to do what is right, what is best, and what will please you the most." Just remember that prayer and try to pray in that way. "My dear Lord, please force me." Force me means against your own will. You're allowing the Lord to force you. Because the Lord said, "As they surrender unto me, I reward them." But if we are not surrendering, then there is no way out. So please force me, then Krishna. I am so useless, I can't even surrender to you. "Now, my dear Lord, please force me to do what is right, what is best, what will give you the greatest satisfaction." So we are allowed to pray like this. Please force me out of that conditioning, out of that stagnation, out of that treadmill that we have become accustomed to. So I tell you, there will be tremendous change in your consciousness, tremendous evolution of consciousness. If you look at yourself 2 years ago and now, there is change. But if you keep being eager to progress towards Krishna Prema, it will manifest more and more. You'll be able to do more amazing service to the Lord, facilitating many more other devotees. You'll get empowered in various different ways. And one remains very, very humble, like a blade of grass before Krishna and the devotees. This is the sixth principle of surrender. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anandi Gauri Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Om Premanandi. Srila Gurudev ki jai.